Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long bony fingers. Reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are 2 small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touched air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
All right, today we have Stephen Bell on the show. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me, Tony.
I'm glad you're here down in Texas, and we were just talking about how you survived the snowstorm. And, you know, I feel like it seems like every year, the last 5 years or so, there's been storms going down south that don't typically come down. So I don't know if that's the poles shifting or what.
Well,
but
yeah. Yeah. And our magnetic field is definitely weakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I moved south thinking I was going to have a certain type of weather. And I feel like the weather just followed me. It's not going to leave anytime soon.
So it's your fault. Okay.
It might be my fault. All I know is we got another storm coming this weekend, and I'm just thinking to myself, my Lord, like I don't want to be dealing with this stuff. So, we want to talk to you today about your book. And before we get into the book, I want to lay the groundwork as to, you know, how this book developed and unfolded for you. You were a full-time musician, and I'm assuming your travels played into this book, but the book is called The Thinning Veil, Christ, Consciousness, and the Modern Phenomenon of UAPs, Orbs, and the Unseen World. So who is Stephen Bell, and what brought on this book?
Okay, well, it's interesting. Stephen Bell is a small West Texas boy who was brought up Protestant. I was raised Church of Christ, and then when I was 29, I became a Lutheran, Missouri Synod, and became a full-time worship leader there. And at the same time, I was playing out and about, hitting all the bar scenes. What happened was, being raised, mysteries, miracles, if anybody talked about aliens, you were just crazy and it was blown off. You know, I come from that generation. Now we're seeing, of course, the veil is thinning and more of these phenomena are popping up. Well, I was looking into the Catholic Church thanks to my 16-year-old boy. He studies theology. He was looking, why are we Lutheran, Dad? So he was studying. And so one of the things that caught me and caught my attention in the Catholic Church was things like Eucharistic miracles. And then Marian apparitions popped up. So I thought, well, I need to dig in. I don't want to get into some hocus pocus because, you know, being brought up Protestant in West Texas, they don't have good things to say about Catholicism or Catholics. And I was raised that same way. It's just hocus pocus, praying to dead people. But what I did, I did a deep dive into some of these miracles and the Marian apparitions. And well, I realized that Our Lady of Fatima, 70,000 people witnessed this miracle. They call the miracle of the sun. And in this crowd was a mix of atheists, journalists, Protestants. And with 70,000 witnesses that saw a spinning disc come out of the sky, come down and shift, and it actually heated. It was a muddy place at the time. It had just been raining. And then all of a sudden, everybody was dry and the mud was even hard because of this heat that generated from this disc. So I thought, well, 70,000 witnesses, how can you discount witness accounts like that? That's written. And how come we don't hear about this more often? Well, you go into one rabbit hole, you go into another one. And so then I hear about Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is why I have her here, is because her account in Mexico was at the same time, just a little after the Reformation, when she appears to Juan Diego, an Aztec. And what's interesting is that this cloak, she left us an artifact, an actual artifact here, that's still in Mexico City today. And scientists have looked at this artifact and how the picture of Mary with the alignment of the stars under her, it's not painting strokes. It's laid on top of this tilma. And this tilma should have been only lasted like 50 years. Those things tore apart, but it's still 500 years later, it's still put together. And then in the 70s, another guy's just going over it through a fine microscopic look, and then finds the reflection in the eyes of Mary, of Juan Diego, and the bishop standing like they were the reflection in the eyes. Well, I thought, well, this is very interesting. And then you get into Eucharist miracles, which doesn't really have much to do with UAPs, but it's still a phenomenon that is real. I mean, they take an atheist doctor looked at the samples, and before he knew what it was, like, yeah, this AB blood, this was a heart muscle, somebody suffered a traumatic event, and this atheist doctor ended up becoming a Christian because of him investigating this Eucharistic miracle. But then now we start looking at the UAP phenomenon, people with orbs. Have you heard of Chris Bledsoe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, see, I talk a little bit about Chris Bledsoe in my book, too, because he's able to summon the orbs. Danny Jones, actually, the podcaster, went out there and saw this take place and has it on video. So you're starting to see these things are real. Well, then I catch a documentary called Skinwalker Ranch. I'm sure you've heard of that one. Mm-hmm. Well, and what really blew my mind was the, where I really came to accept this about UAPs, interdimensional beings, was the cattle mutilations. I mean, it's extremely odd that you'd find cattle that are laser cut, no blood, no tracks around, and organs missing. So I did a deep dive into that, and the first account started in the 17th century. There's many cultures who talk about their livestock being cut with precision, organs missing, and a trace of nothing, no animal bites or marks. Well, you know, George Knapp, he found an interest in this, being the journalist he is, so he goes to Skinwalker Ranch. And then all of a sudden, these stories are being uncovered of, you know, what we call demon possessions. You could also say that's a demon possession, too, what was happening to that family at Skinwalker Ranch, where they go in, their house would be chaotic, things would be upside down. Then they see, and what the reason they call it Skinwalker is because they saw a skinwalker. Well, what is a skinwalker? Well, something that the Indians, that's where they, what they originally called it. But what we would call it here would be something demonic. What's referred to in the Bible, and see, that's what I do in my book. I bring together our old language to our new language. See, like Ezekiel's wheel in the Old Testament. To them, he's describing what he's seeing. Today, our language would describe it something different. They'd say it's an aerial phenomenon or a UAP or whatnot. And so our language today, what my point of this book is that this has been happening since the beginning of record keeping, from hieroglyphics to our oldest manuscripts in the Bible, these exact same things. Now, the question is, why are more people seeing it now? Why is this a phenomenon now? Why is our government coming out and saying, well, they hadn't disclosed it, but we know they're disclosing it with a soft disclosure. Why are they doing that now? What do they know that we don't know? And the truth is, I don't think they know a lot more. They do know some things, but I don't think they know a lot more than we know now. Now, and I want people to understand this, is that I'm not saying everything that what we call aliens can't exist. They can. Quantum, they're not coming from outer space. They're not coming from other planets. They're coming from other dimensions. There is plenty of evidence that other dimensions exist. Take DMT, for example. Now they're doing, which hopefully the United States will get to where they can study DMT more, make it legalized, not for recreational use, but just so scientists can study it. I don't know if you know about the laser experiment. Do you know about that?
Where they saw the code?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you have people seeing different things with DMT. We know the body naturally produces DMT when they die, which I talk about that in my book too, with the near-death experiences and what everybody has seen, the commonality of what everybody sees. Some have seen heaven, and actually some have seen hell. One guy went and became a pastor in Kentucky after he went to hell and made it back. But what we know is that the body produces this DMT when they die. So some atheists is like, well, it's just a chemical reaction. Well, it is, but the chemical reaction leads you to another dimension. So, for example, one man that Michael Knowles interviewed, he was a rebel. He did drugs, lots of drugs. He suffered with depression, alcohol abuse. And one time he did DMT. And he said, I've been on mushrooms. I've been on all the hallucinogens. When I was on DMT, that was not hallucination. It was real. And what he saw was three demon-like creatures pop up in his room and then start. One of them actually carried him for a little bit and then dropped him. He comes out of this. Of course, you know, DMT, I think the effects fits like 30 minutes at the most, depending on your dosage, but it doesn't take long. But he's not the only one that tells stories like that. They see the same entities. Now, here's the thing. People on one side see the good side of things, and then other people see the dark side of things. Now, what separates those? We really don't know. Maybe it's if you're in good graces with God, maybe you see the good, or if you have a demon oppression, then you may see the bad. There's really not a give, but they do see the same things all across the world. Shadow figures, like with night terrors. Like, are you familiar with Dr. Diana Pasulka?
Yes.
Okay. I've read her book, Encounters, and that's what really got me fascinated into what other people are seeing in their night terrors. One guy describes perfectly, which he didn't know it at the time, was the St. Michael the Archangel came to see him, which is fascinating. So Diana Pasulka takes us, she don't say his name, who it is, but we kind of have a guess who it is. He worked for NASA. So they go visit the Vatican, and they're able to go through the records and the archives. Well, whatever he saw there, which they haven't said what it was, he came out and he converted over to Christianity, to Catholicism in particular. And so that's where I come from. See, I'm just a regular guy, grew up in West Texas. I'm a superintendent at a research facility. So I kind of understand the basics of simple physics. And the things that people are seeing in the air, what the Pentagon is talking about, defies physics. Well, what else could that be? We know quantum physics tells us that time can warp. So like at Skinwalker Ranch, there's probably a portal there where they warp time, and that's an entry. Mm-hmm. And from my own experience, I don't have many experiences. I've probably had three in my life, and I'll share those real quick with you. One of them was real simple. I was outdoors, out in the country, just kind of shooting dove, whatever. Well, nighttime come, and then just by chance, I looked up, and I look up the sky all the time, but I did see what was, it's hard to explain, but like what you'd see in the movies where a portal flashes and just kind of expands and comes. I saw that and I thought, well, that's really weird, but that's before I even knew about anything. That's just something stuck in the back of my mind. Now, what I talk about in the book is my first experience when I was 5 years old. Me and my sisters, we lived out, and my mother and father, we lived kind of out in the country. We had one house maybe about 50 yards from us, and it's a trailer house. Well, we all shared a bathroom, and I'm five. My two older sisters are in front of me, and I'm just sitting there, and I look up, and I see it has one of those windows that you can kind of see out of, but you can't really see in too well unless you're right up to it. It's a fog glass or whatever they call it. All of a sudden, I see a face right there on that glass, and I see kind of what people talk about, the wide eyes, the weird-shaped head, and just kind of a mouth right there, and I screamed. And my sisters looked up, and they screamed. And of course, that thing took off. We took off. And my dad worked in the oil field, and so he wasn't home at night a lot of times. All of a sudden, we're screaming to my mother, and then the phone's ringing. She's answering it. Nothing's on the line. This is all landlines before cell phones.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.